Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Stepped up in a huge way, the revelation of Ryan Rollins. Certainly in effect tonight.
Bucks Talk starts now.
This kicks out Trent with no time on the shot clock. Knocks down the three. That could be the dagger tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
What a difference a year makes. This is a matchup, and really these two games back-to-back, the Cavaliers on Sunday, tonight the Knicks, those are two teams that dominated you a season ago. They went a combined 7-0 against the Bucks. There were two close games, the first two that you played against the Cavs in the early going, the others were not. It was not a pretty matchup a season ago. It's certainly the same applied to this Knicks team, where Karl Anthony Towns just kind of bullied the Bucks last season, and the Knicks ran away in each of those three contests. That was not the case tonight. And going into Sunday and eventually coming into today, that was the big question you wanted answered. Like the proof of concept I keep saying with this group, but let's just see how this looks with pen to paper here. And let's see how this group looks on the court against teams that you know are challenges for you, are good Eastern Conference teams. How do we stack up against these teams with this newer, revamped team on both ends of the floor? I think you passed with flying colors Sunday. You didn't get the win in Cleveland. Again, you don't want to drift into moral victory territory, but you competed. You fought until the very end. You were undermanned, so were the Cavs, but you were down some big pieces. Your starting point guard, your backup point guard, Kyle Kuzma, and what he showed tonight. You fought all the way until the end. And I think we said this on the post-game show afterwards. That Cavs game on Sunday night, with everything stacked against you, without the players that you were down, that felt like a game a season ago you lose by double digits. And you were in it until the end. This game tonight, I think we all kind of checked the injury report early, and there were some interesting tidbits from Doc Rivers I want to get to about the future, or immediate future, I should say, about one of these players. But we checked the injury report early just to see, okay, the Bucks were down some big pieces against the Cavs. Did any of this change? And everything but Kevin Porter Jr. changed. So in that sense, it created another one of those opportunities for you to show, how does this work? How do we play against one of these teams that we had no answers for a season ago? And tonight, the answer that you gave, or the answer that you got, it backs up everything we heard from John Horst and Doc Rivers in the offseason about sample size being important. We don't have a big one, but we believe in what we have with this group and the guys that we saw to close out the last eight games a season ago in the playoffs. What you saw from this group tonight against a team that you had no answers for in terms of Jalen Brunson, and Jalen Brunson still a very good game tonight, but no one to stay in front of him a season ago. Ryan Rollins did that. And Jalen Brunson still got his points. He had to work for him. I don't know that I'd say he was inefficient, but Ryan Rollins made life difficult. Four more steals for Rollins, more deflections and loose balls that he created. Just didn't concede anything to Jalen Brunson or this Knicks team. Also broke out with a career-high 25 points, which was big. But Kyle Kuzma, the much-maligned Kyle Kuzma through most of last season, the offseason coming into this season, from his own fan base, Kyle Kuzma showed you tonight, this is the way you deploy Kyle Kuzma. Get him going in transition. Missed an open three tonight. It was a rhythm three. I think you're fine with it. Get him playing downhill and get him as your Swiss Army knife defensively. In the first half, we saw him have to take on Jalen Brunson when Ryan Rollins exited with a cut on his lip. But the defense that he played on Karl Anthony Towns, and that to me, we talked about it on the pregame, was the biggest thing about this game and the difference in this season's Bucks versus last season. You have three guys on this team that you can look at and say, we can try him on Karl Anthony Towns. You have a couple of guys in the backcourt that you can say, I think we feel fine more than comfortable throwing him on Jalen Brunson. Those two things were the biggest difference in this game tonight, opposed to the three games you saw last year where you had none of those answers and you were run off the floor. So it's still very early. You're, what, a 20th of the way through the season? But you have to love what you've seen so far from this group in terms of their energy. Ryan Rollins talked about the feeling within that locker room, the vibes, and how the group just plays off of one another. You have to feel good about that. The athleticism that you've seen so far, the fact that this team had another good three-point shooting night. It wasn't eye-popping. You know, this wasn't one of those outlier games. Shot 40%. You'll certainly take that. They were a 38% three-point shooting team a season ago. Volume dipped a little bit. But the success isn't, the Bucks are just bombing threes and they're hitting them. They're winning different ways. And that's the biggest change from this year to last. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So a 3-1 start on the season for the Bucks, and with that, four games into the season, they have already surpassed their win total from the first 10 games of last season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. We'll hear from you. And get back to what I mentioned before, too, what Doc Rivers had to say about the status in the immediate future, at least, go forward for Kevin Porter Jr. We'll dig into that coming up next.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.121 to 111 final. Bucks take down the New York Knicks tonight, so they start the season 3-1. And have found different ways to play throughout the course of 48 minutes, but different ways to win games here. And you know, one of the other standouts from these first four games is the fact that you have had a different second leading scorer in each of those four contests. And tonight that was Ryan Rollins with a career high 25 points, certainly impactful defensively as well. Four more steals tonight for Ryan Rollins, and it just continues to be a ball hawk and a menace. And you know, look, four games does not a season make, but I've talked about it on this show, on the broadcast, on some other shows as well, Locked On Bucks, that coming into the season, and I'm not alone here, I was incredibly high on Ryan Rollins because of his two-way ability, and because last year in those moments, you know, he was a guy that stepped up when called upon. You can't help but wonder, do things look differently? Does the offseason look different if Ryan Rollins doesn't suffer that shoulder injury? It didn't derail. It didn't end his season, but it paused the growth that we saw when he had that breakout performance against the Raptors early in the season. If that doesn't happen, if Ryan Rollins forces himself into the rotation and becomes a guy that is more known throughout the course of the season, does that change his path? I mean, the Bucks are not complaining with that, but you know, the Bucks had to renounce the rights to Ryan Rollins in the offseason. He was a restricted free agent, meaning some team could make an offer sheet, the Bucks could match that. So it would take the Bucks saying, no, we don't want Ryan Rollins, for him to actually leave. When they went through waving and stretching Damian Lillard and all the cap gymnastics they had to do in order to free up money to sign Miles Turner, a byproduct of that was they had to renounce the rights of Ryan Rollins to get that cap hold off your books and clear as much money as you could to go sign Miles Turner. Now, you could go back and sign him after the fact, which is what they did, but renouncing his rights made him an unrestricted free agent. So, in other words, all 29 teams in the league had a chance to sign Ryan Rollins this offseason for what amounts to, for all intents and purposes, was a veteran minimum deal. He's making $4 million. Anybody could have had him with that type of offer. And the Bucks are able to retain him. And I know Dave mentioned it on the radio broadcast of, look, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. There's still a lot of things that need to unfold here. But he has the potential to be, you know, maybe not the biggest find or steal, but in that conversation for John Horst in his time here, with what you've seen tonight, and it's not just one game where we saw Ryan Rollins score 25 points. I don't expect him to be a 20-point scorer on a nightly basis, certainly. But I do expect him to be an impactful defender night in, night out. I do expect him to have moments like these where every handful of games, every so often, you're seeing a 20 or 25-point performance from Ryan Rollins. You can see the confidence building. You can see his game starting to expand more and more. And it just kind of leads into the makeup of this group and what Ryan Rollins said, how this group fits. You know, I think the way to put it, because coming into the season here, we all had to navigate all the landmines that were out there in the offseason about the future of your best player, about what this team was doing with dead cap on the books for the next 5 years, about how much talent is surrounding Giannis, how good is this group, how good are your coaches, all of it that was out there. And one of the big things was, well, if you had two top 75 players on your team a season ago and you lost one of them, there's no way you're a better team. Keep in mind, and maybe ignore the fact that the same voices saying that were the same voices telling you it didn't work with those two top 75 players. But nonetheless, this is a puzzle. Roster construction, building out your teams, it's a puzzle. The pieces ultimately have to fit to say, here's the completed look. I finished building the puzzle. I got everything to fit together here. You can't just cram everything in there. You can see stretches where, like, oh, yeah, that fit together. It's not actually the right two pieces that you connected. It just so happened to fit. That can happen with rosters. You can have Giannis and Damian Lillard leading the league in terms of scoring duos. You can have both of them making all-star teams. You can have flashes of brilliance. But it just didn't fit for these 2 years. And that's not on Giannis. It's not on Damian Lillard. It's just a collective thing, and it's not just the pairing of Giannis and Dame. It's the rest of the fit of this roster. The Bucks for the last, 3 years? 2 years especially is when it started to really become more and more evident. They were beholden to playing one way, a specific style. And I think Doc Rivers talked a little bit about that at Media Day this year as well, saying, you know, we had to play very passive and on our heels, and when you do that, you're not going to find success. Teams can attack you. You're going to put yourself in a bad spot, and that's what we were doing as the season went on and on. It's the total package of this puzzle that fits together, where it's not just we play this way. We're going to have a center that plays in the drop defense, and this isn't a let's take shots at Brook Lopez. I think Brook Lopez was still an impactful defender last season, but for the pieces around him, it didn't fit. Your perimeter defense was non-existent a season ago. Like, that's something that's important when you have a center like Brook Lopez. But it came down to the fact that the more you watched other teams across the league, you watched them and wondered, like, well, why can't this team play like that? And you know why? Because of the athleticism, and it was a roster that was getting unathletic and old. But you start to see more and more teams play like that and recognize, look, this, I don't think we can do this anymore. We have to play a different way. That's what this summer was about. Let's get as modern as we can. Let's, you know, be as fluid as we can. Let's be able to play different styles of basketball. And that's what we're seeing with this group. You have point of attack defenders. Maybe not the best, but more than you had for the last three seasons. Really more than you had since the 2022 season, I would even say. Point of attack defenders. Guys that are two-way players, and it's not just we trust this guy defensively or we trust this guy offensively, other side of the court, it's a major question. You have guys that can fit on both ends of the floor. You have a little more size. You'd still love to upgrade at that spot, but how you're using guys is the other big piece of that, and that, to me, has been the biggest change of this group, and it really starts with one of the guys that had the biggest impact, or one of the biggest impacts in this game. So we'll get to that conversation and get back to those comments from Doc Rivers about Kevin Porter Jr. and his status in the immediate future here, coming up after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
So you mentioned pieces fitting here, and, you know, I suppose more appropriately putting guys in a position to succeed and putting guys in the right space. I don't think anyone sums that up or that can be summed up better for anyone than Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma struggled last season when joining this team. I think that's pretty evident. His role was much different. It can be an adjustment, too, to go from a team like the Wizards to a team that, whether or not it was championship aspirations and expectations, was still expecting to be competitive, a playoff team, and have a deep playoff run. You need to change a lot about your game, about what your role is, and I suppose humble yourself. Doc Rivers would say quite a bit last season, like, you got to get over yourself, and we have a lot of guys that have done that. But I think the other challenge with Kyle Kuzma was, you know, as we talk about how pieces fit together with this team this season, you kind of had to ask Kyle Kuzma to be the athletic guy last year. To be Giannis Light, you know, really to break it down. And sure, he played out of position for a decent chunk of time, and it was clunky to try to figure out how does he fit next to Giannis. Is this a lineup that we feel like we can really go to? But you basically just said to Kyle Kuzma, okay, we need you to hit open threes, we need you to get in transition, and we need you to take on the toughest defensive assignments, or some of the toughest defensive assignments. And oh, by the way, we need you to do this with a team that doesn't run all that much, that does not play at an up-tempo pace. Giannis will do it, sure, but as we'll start to discover, your best impact and chance at impacting the game and your best role is going to be when Giannis is not on the floor. And we need you to take on those assignments and do so without a lot of help defensively. You did not put him in a position to succeed. Now, that's not to absolve Kyle Kuzma and say, look, this was entirely the organization's fault. I think it just didn't work last season. But so far, and again, you can't stress enough, it has only been four games, that things can change, and there certainly will be games where we're not speaking so highly or singing the praises of Kyle Kuzma, or Ryan Rollins, for that matter, either. But through these first four games, I think Kyle Kuzma is a guy that has looked comfortable in his role, and that role just seems to make more sense, where he can be the guy that brings the ball up the floor and pushes the pace with those bench units, and he's doing so alongside guys that want to run. Like Cole Anthony wants to get out there and push the pace. Kevin Porter Jr., we've only seen for 9 minutes, but he's going to want to do that. Ryan Rollins can do that. Miles Turner can do that. This entire group can do that. They can play. I think we've gone close to being able to say they can play in a string defensively with the switchability. Like there was one stretch tonight in the second half when the Bucks really dug in and started to make a game of this and eventually grabbed the lead when they were playing smaller with the front court of Bobby Portis and Kyle Kuzma, and it was just a five-man unit that could switch on everything. I think Kyle Kuzma is more comfortable in his role now because he has pieces that fit around him and make sense around him so that the things you're asking him to do, he can actually execute. And offensively, I think he's done exactly what you would want to see from him. You know, by the numbers, Kyle Kuzma has never been a great or very good three-point shooter. We all point to the bubble and like, oh, get bubble Kuzma. What he did for the Lakers leading them to a championship, he was better. That was one of his best stretches of basketball. It still wasn't anything I would term as very good three-point shooting. It was just good enough. But if he can give you that, if he can give you fast break offense, push the pace, attack, and just get things moving, that's what you're looking for from that second unit. And those are all things that Kyle Kuzma has given you so far this season. So I think Kyle Kuzma, at worst, has been fine for you this season. And at best, you'd say, yeah, Kyle Kuzma's been good. You know, in terms of what his role is, the minutes that he's playing, what you expect from him, he's been good in doing that. Tonight, though, Kyle Kuzma, I thought, was excellent. We can nitpick that three-pointer that he took that he walked into. But that was coming on the heels of some very, very good defensive plays and a couple of sequences, too, where he was just attacking Karl-Anthony Towns. And you know what? If he's going to put up a heat check three, I'm going to live with it in that spot. But for the most part, Kyle Kuzma has started out in the corner. He gets open looks, but he doesn't take it immediately. He's looking to be the connector and to see, okay, how can I get in the paint and create open looks for other guys? That's exactly what you want from him. And the defense tonight, this is the highlight reel for Kyle Kuzma to put together and say, this is it. If you can do this on a nightly basis, like the perception of Kyle Kuzma starts to change around this league because he walled off Karl Anthony Towns. We don't have the tracking numbers just yet. Towns' shooting splits were not entirely against Kyle Kuzma, but he took the lion's share of the work, and you could just see throughout the course of the game the frustration that was mounting and building within Karl Anthony Towns when each and every time down the floor, Kyle Kuzma was walling him off, that it starts to get into this territory where you're frustrated and you're playing kind of out of concept and you're playing out of yourself and you're drifting away from what the team wants to do to, I just got to go at this guy and get him. And every single time Kuzma held up against him, those were some very pivotal sequences in this game, and that came, no surprise, in that stretch where the Bucks went from down 12 at the half to taking a lead into the fourth quarter. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So the Bucks are 3-1 now to start this season. Two more games at home, Thursday night against the Golden State Warriors, Saturday night against the Sacramento Kings. You get your first back-to-back next week. But for the first week plus, a pretty nice start for this group thus far, especially to consider you're doing this without Kevin Porter Jr., who's played all of 9 minutes so far this season. So what Doc Rivers had to say about Kevin Porter Jr. before the game when he went through some of the injury statuses, we'll get to that coming up after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
/121/111 our final tonight. Bucks take care of the New York Knicks. What a difference a year makes for this group. And really both of these games, I know you went 1-1, but how this group looked on the floor against the Knicks tonight in a win and how they looked against the Cavs, a team you went 0-4 against and went on to win 64 games last season without three big pieces in that game, I think says a lot about the difference from this year to last season. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Mike in Shorewood. Were you at the game tonight, Mike?
No, unfortunately, I didn't make it to the game tonight. Wish I would have been there. What a win for the Bucks tonight. Really impressive. And this kid, Ryan Rollins, man, is really starting to make a name for himself. And to me, I think Doc's got to make the move that he's got to be the starting point guard. Even when KPJ comes, I think his role is better as an instant scorer off the bench. This kid Rollins reminds me in the mold of a Drew Holiday or even a Derek White type. His defense tenacity, I think he fits in perfectly with that starting core, especially with Giannis. He suits plays off Giannis perfectly. So I think, to me, the move to make with Doc is insert him in the starting lineup. I think this is the starting lineup for tonight should be going forward. I think, to me, they're good enough to come out of the East. Even though a lot of the pundits and experts think the Knicks, I favor the Knicks. The Knicks don't really scare anybody. They haven't really proven it in basically, since 50 years ago. They haven't sniffed a title. Yeah. I mean, last year everybody projected them to come out of the East. They failed again to the Pacers. So the East is wide open. So I think the Bucks have as good a shot as any team come out of the East. And when Giannis playing like he is, to me, he's still the best player in the East in my mind. I think the talent is unlimited. I think Miles Turner's going to be that X factor that missing that Giannis needed next to play to him. And when you look at this core of this Bucks team, and you got an ascending stud in Rollins, and that depth there, and Doc's finally getting it together, having a nice core here, barring major injuries, I think this Bucks team should definitely come out of the East in my mind. I'm going to get your thoughts just on the overall season, and I just love what I see out of this kid Rollins. And I think anybody could have had him. Luckily, the Bucks re-signed him because this kid, I think, is going to be a player for years to come for this squad.
Well, and Mike, real quick.
Yeah.
So, Who does Ryan Rollins start in place of then if you make him your permanent starter? Are you saying a point guard in front of Kevin Porter Jr.?
Yeah. I think that's the lineup. So don't you think that KPJ's role would be much better? I think he's a perfect scorer, instant scorer off the bench. When you look at what Ryan Rollins does, I think he's a better fit with the starting core lineup in terms of his being able to score, but more importantly, defensively. I just think he brings more of a two-way player on both ends of the court over KPJ, who I think could be a great scorer off the bench and be that when they need a guy to come off the bench and really light it up, he can be that guy, and I think that's where he thrives best. Do you think you agree with me or no?
I wouldn't make that change. I would – I mean, it's only four games, but if Ryan Rollins keeps playing like this, it is going to become an interesting conversation to revisit on, is this the preferred five-man group that we should start? But I think it would then come down to one of the other two guards that you're starting. Like, I think Kevin Porter Jr. just has to start. I think he is still the best point guard that you have, and I think the upside – you know, I said coming into the season, I think Kevin Porter Jr. had to be your second leading scorer because he clearly has the talent to do so. And if he does that and takes that type of step, I think that bodes really well for this team. But the big thing for me is I don't discount what you had to say about if he would be kind of ideally a bench boost guy that's leading your scoring there, but it becomes very duplicative with Cole Anthony, and I think Cole Anthony is really going to thrive in this role as the point guard that can score but is also a playmaker coming off the bench. And if you're doing that with Kevin Porter Jr. as well, there's just a lot of crossover between those two roles. The Miles Turner thing, too, that Mike brought up, I mean, the ball isn't going through the net right now. And he's gotten good looks. I mean, tonight, too, there was that off the pick and roll, the deep two, the mid-range two, that Miles Turner killed the Bucks with in the playoffs and in the regular season last year. And you saw him do it throughout the playoffs. I think Pacers fans would say, yeah, up until the NBA Finals, or really up until the Conference Finals, too. But he's just not making shots right now. He is still impacting the game defensively. He's had multiple blocks in every single game this season. I think, and Mike brought it up, too, you can see how he just pairs nicely with Giannis and how much ground he can cover. What he's brought to the offense, too, to initiate ball movement and moving without the ball. He's been impactful. The shots haven't fallen yet. But, you know, I don't think this is a do you have buyer's remorse and what type of player is Miles Turner really going to be? Like, let's keep in mind, this is almost identical to what Gary Trent Jr. experienced for the first 10 or 12 games last season, where the ball just wasn't going through the net. And then eventually things started to change. I do think that's going to come from Miles Turner as well, maybe as early as Thursday against the Warriors. But in the interim, the impact that he's brought defensively has been immeasurable for this group. I do want to get to Kevin Porter Jr. because from the sounds of it, we're not going to see him Thursday against the Warriors. We're probably not going to see him Saturday against the Kings. And who knows beyond that, based off some of the things Doc Rivers had to say earlier in the afternoon. So we'll get to those comments, preview the matchup with the Warriors, and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
121-111 final. Bucks take care of business against the New York Knicks and start the season with three wins in their first four games. We have not seen Kevin Porter Jr. since the first quarter of opening night, leaving with that left ankle sprain. And, you know, Doc Rivers said after the game then, it wasn't a good one. It was a bad sprain, as he put it. I think we've all seen video, and some of us around the team have seen Kevin Porter Jr. at least doing some things. He's thankfully not in a walking boot. You've seen him on the court and on the bench, I should say. During games here. So there's been this kind of belief isn't the right word, but hope. Like, we should see him relatively soon, right? And maybe even on this homestand. But Doc said today before the game, it's going to be a little bit. And reiterated, it wasn't a good sprain, like the type of sprain it was that he suffered on the ankle. We just want to be very, very, very cautious with it because of how early it is in the season. We don't want to rush him along here. We don't want this to become a lingering thing, which is, as Doc pointed out, you know, for a bad ankle sprain, all it takes is to do it again, and then this is something that you're dealing with that becomes a grade two and just lingers throughout the course of the season. So sounds like they believe they dodged a major bullet here with Kevin Porter Jr., but that doesn't mean, okay, he's ready to go. Let's play him now. If it, totally different conversation. Nobody's asked Doc Rivers this, I think only because it's the first four games of the season, but if this were the playoffs, would Kevin Porter Jr. be playing? I think you'd probably get a different answer to that. But nonetheless, the indications from Doc Rivers were it's going to be a little bit. So I take that as we're not going to see him Thursday against the Warriors. We are not going to see him Saturday against the Sacramento Kings. And then you get into next week where you play Monday in a big one, the return to Indiana for Miles Turner, the Bucks at the Pacers. But then you play Tuesday, so your first back-to-back of the season. That is in Toronto against the Raptors. You then get 2 days off before hosting the Chicago Bulls in an NBA Cup game 1 week from Friday, November 7th. I would say, based on everything we've heard from Doc Rivers, that seems like the most logical spot for Kevin Porter Jr. to make his return next Saturday. So all told, that would be missing four more games for KPJ. So going to take a little bit of time, but the way this team is playing, and especially the way Ryan Rollins is playing right now, that started to minimize some of the pain of not having Kevin Porter Jr. here in the early going this season. But a very impressive win from this group tonight to start the season 3-1. And now another big one with a Warriors team that's playing well to start the season. They're currently 3-1, and they're currently up 15 on the Los Angeles Clippers. So the Bucks and the Warriors Thursday night here in this building. 7 o'clock tip time, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.